for some of us, that scripture that says for John, for in John that says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son," you know, we as Christians, we cling to that, don't we? But you know, there's so much of the world that says, "That's a bunch of hogwash. I don't believe that." And they don't have faith to believe in that. But we do. We have faith to believe that God did send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us so that we can have eternal life, that we can know that the end of this world, the end of our physical life, is not the end of us, but it's nothing more than another door of our eternal life getting set to take place. And if you really think about it, our time here on this earth, in contrast to our eternal life, is going to be but a second in our eternal life. A second. Isn't that amazing? How much more glory and happiness that we have lying ahead of us. You know, song says there'll be no more crying there, no more heartache there, no more suffering there. All that takes place in the here, and what we go through now. And you know, a lot of that was what I was going to preach on. But as I was reading last night, I was telling a couple of you beforehand, as I was reading last night and, you know, studying a little bit for the message of today, my granddaughter decided that if I was reading, guess what she was going to do? She was going to read too. So she proceeded to go to the bookshelf that we have in our closet and pick out a couple of books and sit up on the bed and start to read to me. And it's amazing the things that little children will read out of a book. But she put down on the bed this little book that I had never seen before, that I guess my wife had gotten many years ago, and it's by Max Lucado. Many of you heard Max Lucado. So I am not going to say that I came up with this message today, but it got put on my heart that what he said in this little book is what I should give as a message today. So this is not a Marty original. Okay? But let's face it, how many people have original thoughts anymore? We don't. We're just remembering somebody said at some point in our life, or so this, we all plagiarize each other. But the book is called Imagine Your Life Without Fear. Can you imagine that? Some people are afraid to think. They're afraid when there's nothing going on in their life to be afraid of. And last week I gave a message about doubt. And I entitled it No Doubt. And what the Lord put on my heart was, there are things that just flat out kill your faith. Doubt being one of them. Worry being another one. But fear. We probably live in one of the most fearful societies that the U.S. has ever gone or ever had. We fear so many things, don't we? I mean, just even when Christ was on earth, I think he told his disciples over 100 times, do not be afraid or fear not. He used the word fear to them because they were sorely afraid, or they were, you know, afraid of this situation or afraid of that situation. And the part of the Bible I'm going to be in is in Matthew, the 8th chapter. We all know the story where Jesus is out on the boat with them. He just got done preaching, so he goes underneath the top of the boat and sleeps in the stern, the very back part of the boat. Why do you sleep in the back part of the boat? It's the smoother ride. Okay, if you've ever ridden in a boat, the back of the boat is the smoothest part of the ride of the boat. And he's sound asleep. I mean, he is just sawing logs. And suddenly a great storm comes upon the Sea of Galilee. And the boat is just being tossed back and forth and back and forth. And the disciples, they have to wake him up saying, Lord! How can you sleep at a time like this? There's a storm coming on. Help us, save us. They were afraid. They were afraid they were going to die. And we have tons of storms that happen in our life. And we have tons of storms that we think are going on in our lives that we become fearful of. I mean, what are some of the things that we are frightened of today? We hit it a little earlier. Terrorism. ever since 9/11, ever since it came home to roost on our soil. Look what it did to the economy. It shut down our economy. Why? People were afraid to fly. People were afraid to almost even go out of their house. People were afraid of anybody that looked like a Muslim. True? Did we not start? Yeah, some of us are saying, yeah, we still are. Just to look at somebody that is from that area of the country or that world, and we think in our mind, are they? Are they here to get us? What about people that are out there in the dating world? What do they fear? Rejection. Sexual diseases. Do they not? They fear all these things that, you know, some of the things I didn't fear when I was a young kid, because those things weren't around, but these days they do. What about financial instability? Do we not have fear of our finances? Am I going to have enough for retirement? Am I even going to be able to retire? Is my 401k down to a 101k? What about a 10k? What about a negative? Has it dropped down to a B instead of a K? Whatever it happens to be. We think about our financial security. We think about our jobs. Remember when the day was that you went to work for one company, you worked there the rest of your life and you retired? And you were taken care of? Who knows if that is a thing of the past? True? That's a thing of the past. You just don't do it. One company buys another. What's the worst? If you work for a company, if you work for the federal government, know this. Nobody's coming in and buying the federal government. But they can cut the financing to it. They can cut the budget, can't they? Okay? Every year. But what if you work for a company? What's the worst thing that you can hear? Oh, we're being bought. Because now you immediately start thinking, oh my gosh, are they going to eliminate my position? What about moral decay? Do we worry about moral decay? Do we worry about our children growing up in a society that's as safe as what it once was? Why do you think that in the days of, who is the senior person here today? Alan, when you were a teenager, did you have home security alarm systems? No, you had a dog, right? You had a dog. You probably left the keys in the car, didn't you? Yeah. Could you walk down the street at night alone? If you were a young lady, could you walk down the street at night without fear that somebody was going to take advantage of you? You had no fear. At least that fear wasn't one of the fears you had. What about health concerns these days? I had my blood taken a couple years ago when I had an insurance policy taken out. And the lady says, now we're going to test for AIDS. Do you want to know the results? I said, no. She looked at me and she goes, you don't? I go, no. I don't mean to be rude, but why do you not want to know if you have AIDS or not? I said, because I know I don't have it. She goes, oh. Didn't even begin to think that, oh, you don't have it. Because it's a big problem. But you know, what about the fear of cancer? Fear of a heart attack? Fear of diabetes? We live in a society today that we look on TV and the pharmaceutical companies are advertising so much, we tell the doctor what we need to be prescribed. Do we not? Or you can ask my son. My son is Dr. Webb, MD. I'm telling you, I love him. But he self-diagnoses himself on the web all the time. It wasn't too long ago that he wasn't feeling very good, and he had been losing weight, and I knew what it was from. It was from stress. Losing weight. And he was talking to us, and I got off the phone with my wife, and I said, I bet you he thinks he has cancer. He had gone to the doctor the day before to get tested for cancer. I have no idea. But that's just the way he is. Because his biggest concern about getting a paycheck or having a position is, do I have proper health insurance? That's his biggest concern about life. He lives in that sense of fear. I always figured this, if you make enough money, buy your own health insurance. You know, my wife and I tell him, start to think about abundance. Start to think about having more in your life, not fear of in your life. Do we also have fear of what we look like? We do, don't we? We live in an image society. We have a certain image that we are, that we feel that we are being held accountable to. Oh, we're supposed to look like that. Oh, we're supposed to look like this. I never remember plastic surgery being such an important part of our society. True? Then we have the good old, what I call, all the CNN news companies. And I'm not picking on that one brand. I call CNN news this. It stands, CNN stands for Constant Negative News. All, it doesn't matter what news program you watch. Just turn it on. They all covered the same type of stories. A murder took place. A disaster happening somewhere. Okay? A program going on for those that are in need. There's always some sort of thing going on out there to make us feel bad. It's not a positive, uplifting news. It's always something that, you know, I don't ever feel real great after listening to it. So fear. Fear, though, when it comes to our Lord and Savior, I mean, first of all, there are a few good things that fear does to you, doesn't it? You know, if you hear a huge dog barking in the yard, maybe if you're a stranger, you shouldn't go into that yard. It's a good indicator that something's going on. So there's a few things that God has put in us that the fear is an alert. But more often than not, when it comes to our walk in the Lord, fear is a faith killer. It will destroy your faith. There's an acronym out there for fear a long time ago that I learned. It's called false evidence appearing real. These missionaries, well not missionaries, but these disciples on the boat, they assumed that this storm was going to be so bad that their boat was going to capsize and they were going to die. They assumed it. They had drawn a conclusion. And when they woke Jesus up, they just looked at him and they said, man, he just looked and he says, why are you so afraid? Anybody ever have a dog that is just afraid of everything? I mean, he's afraid of his own shadow. My wife went to take our dog to the vet the other day. He saw his own reflection in the window of the door to get set to go out. She could not get him through the door. She could not get him through the door. 60-pound German Shepherd is afraid. We laugh about that, but you know what? We're 100-plus human beings. And what scares us? Who here is afraid of spiders? Come on, be honest. My wife is deadly afraid of spiders. You're deadly afraid of spiders. She instilled that fear of spiders to her sons. My one son that can lift 350-pound bench weight, he's afraid of a spider that's no more than a quarter inches around. And my motto is this, I fear no spider that my foot is bigger than. But we all have things in our life that we're afraid of. And the unfortunate part is that fear holds us back from being so much more in life. Not only in life, but in our walk with the Lord. Do you know that if it hadn't been for fear, we probably would have discovered things far earlier than we discovered them? How long was it that man feared that if he sailed off into the sunset, the horizon, what was he going to do? He was going to fall off. That thought never made sense to me, because if it fell off, where did the water keep coming from to fill the ocean back up? True? What, is there a big wall that just kept the water in? So how many years did that happen that man wouldn't sail clear off into the sunset, but it took one person of faith say, no, that's not the truth. The earth is rounded. Gravity keeps it in. True? What if when we sent a man to the moon, how many people out there do you think were advising them not to do it? But it took people of faith to say, no, we can do it. Push through the barriers. There are people here today that say, well, they have a fear that if we travel beyond the speed of light, that we will start to regress in age. We'll go backward. How idiotic. Literally, how idiotic. But man, woman, children, we form these fears. And whenever we have a fear, especially in a fear when it comes to our Lord and Savior, our God, what it does, it takes them and diminishes them. Saying, oh, I fear this, and that fear is greater than something that you can handle. I mean, Jesus had all these people to feed, right? And his disciples says, Lord, look at all these people. They're hungry. What are we going to do? We laugh now, but at the time, there was no story to go back to. What are we going to do? And Jesus says, well, how much food do we have? And they go, are you kidding me? We don't have near enough. And then we don't have any 7-Elevens. Can't just go, and there's no Pizza Huts to have pizza delivered. Jesus just said, prayed over the food and sent it out. And there was food left over. Jesus was awakened from this boat. And he looked at him and he says, man, why are you so afraid? That's the Marty paraphrase. Why are you so afraid? And I have to ask myself that. We should be asking ourselves, is our faith so sophisticated that we can't allow ourselves to go beyond our comprehension? Are we afraid to think that our faith can get bigger? Jesus said, if you had the faith of what? Of a mustard seed. You would tell that mountain to move, and guess what? It'd be cast out into the ocean. Julie and I watched a movie the other night with Wendy and her husband Jeremiah about miracles. And I have to admit, part of it, I was sitting down and I was going, really? Come on now, is that staged? But afterwards, I was really checked in my spirit and I was going, why not? Why can't people today be healed by a touch? If Jesus did it, and if Jesus said, you will do greater miracles than I've ever done, why can't that still happen today? Do we live in a society that has gone so far beyond that we say, no, we're too sophisticated. Those type of things can't happen. But to sit there and look at the movie and see somebody praying for somebody else and touching him, and this person that has been crippled since childhood gets up and walks and physically see it on film that's not been edited, I'm like, my God's bigger than I am. And some of us would see that and we go, oh, there's something going on here. I don't know about what's going on. True? Because what are we fearful of? We're fearful of the things that we don't understand. We're fearful of the things that we have no knowledge of. Why are people not believers in Jesus Christ? Because they don't understand him yet. They have not had a personal experience with him yet. It's not that they don't have faith. They just have no knowledge. You have knowledge of Jesus Christ. You have a personal relationship, a personal touch from Jesus Christ. You will have faith in him real quick. And I know that for a fact. Because Jesus can turn a person that quickly. That quickly. And so when Jesus kept saying to his disciples, fear not, don't be afraid. Come on, suck it up, my wife would say. Suck it up. Get going. Get out there. Don't let your lack of faith, don't let your fear hold you back. You can do all things. Romans 8:28. Want to go ahead and put it up there for us? I can do all things through Jesus Christ. Okay? Romans 8:28 is here. All things work towards the glory of God, that those that are loved him and are called according to his word. Okay? All things work towards the glory of God. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. That's on my dad's tombstone. Can do all things. Don't have fear. The fear is what holds it back. If you're praying for somebody for a miracle to happen in their life, lack of faith or fear is holding them back, the miracle will not happen in that life. Because a miracle can only happen where faith abounds. That's why Christ says you need to have faith as a what? Child. As a child. We have a couple of teachers here. Are they not sponges at kindergarten, first grade? You don't have that young? Oh, you got the honorary ones. You got the young ones, right? They're still sponges. Is this the wrong type of sponges? But you've had kindergartens and first grades just about your whole life, haven't you? They sit on every word that you say. They believe everything that comes out of your mouth. They might hear it wrong and still believe that. They believe everything that you say. You could say, they could go out and say, boy, it's a beautiful blue sky today. And you say, that's not blue, that's purple. You say that enough to the children, they're going to say, that's the color purple. Because they'll believe you. You're the teacher. We get into the word enough in Jesus Christ, what he says that we can do, believe it. Because Christ is not there saying that the sky is not blue and that it's purple. He's saying it's blue. He's saying that you can do greater miracles than I've ever done. Believe it. Have faith in it. Don't let it hold you back. How many opportunities do you think we've had in our lifetime that we have turned down because we had not the faith to do it? I see some faces here going, I heard a story yesterday. Wow. And you're all going to say, I wish I was this person. This gentleman had worked for IBM for a couple years. A good friend of his that he had gone to college with said, listen, I'd like to have you come work for me. It's a startup company. And I'm not sure if it's going to get off the ground, but if it does, it could be very lucrative for both of us. And I'd like to have you come work with me and my co-founder and help us with this project. Help us get it off the ground. After thinking about it for about a week, this gentleman decided, no, I'm just going to stay where I am. I'm not going to take the chance. That company is called Google. That gentleman today would be worth about, just the day it went public, would probably be worth about a few $100 million because he chose to live in safety as opposed to chance. See, because that's what fear is. Fear puts us back to a spot where we're comfortable, doesn't it? Where we feel like we're in the safe zone. It's that one little spot. I don't care what it is. It's that one little spot where the world cannot get to me, where I'm safe. Nobody can touch me. I am Superman or Wonder Woman in this spot. I have nothing to fear. A child, when they get upset, where do they run to? They run to their room. My granddaughter, when she gets upset with us, she runs to her room and shuts the door. Shuts that door hard. Why? Nothing's going to come in and bother me. I'm in my safe zone. This is my domain. And when we're in fear, that's what we do. We might run to it in our mind. We might run to it in our physical life, but we run to that spot. Run to that spot that we are comfortable in. But you know what? Serving the Lord is not a comfortable position. You are going to be outside your comfort zone far more than you're going to be in it. And that's a good thing. Because here's the thing I do know. That if you go through your Christian life and you are comfortable in it the whole time, you have never grown one inch your entire life. You have denied yourself from all the blessings that God had in store for you. So I want you to sit here and imagine today, what if I truly had that faith that I can accomplish anything? The song says that I can accomplish what it is that you want me to accomplish today, Lord. Remember years ago, I was watching what that show, Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade, the very last one. And he had to take a leap from the lion's mouth. Remember? And he looked down in this big crevice. And he knew. And his mind was telling him, his eyes were telling him, he takes one step off of that, he's going to perish. And he went, boom. And he realized there was a plank there that he could not see. And the leap that he had to take was a leap of faith. Take those leaps. Take a small step. Take whatever it is, but don't sit in one spot. Unless the Lord's saying, wait, I'm preparing you. But even in your preparation, there is movement, believe it or not. Because there's education, there's knowledge, there's wisdom being obtained. But don't let your fear bind you, because that's what it'll do. It'll just bind you up. And when you're bound up, you can't do anything and you're no good for anybody. That's why Christ says that you've lost your saltiness, is when you lose your faith. We are made righteous before God through our faith. And I don't know about you, but I want to stand one day before my Lord righteously, righteously, as an upright person. Live by faith. Throw away the doubt. Throw away the worry. Don't take things into your own hand. We hear stories, we read stories in our Bible study about the Jews doing it all the time in the Old Testament through the old prophets, that they're forming alliances with this country or forming an alliance with that country. When all God said they had to do was just depend upon Him, call out to Him. He'll take care of them. If my people who are called by my name will hear my voice and listen to me, I will heal their land. Let God work in you. Get out of the way. Just let Him work in you. He will work mighty wonders through you.